That very day, the first day of the week, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus. And they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stopped and looked downcast. One of them, named Cleophas, said to him in reply, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place here in the last few days?" And he replied to them, "What sort of things?" And they said to him, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deeds and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. Besides all this, it is now the third day since all this took place." Let me skip down a little bit. As they approached the village to which they were going, he gave the impression he was going on farther, but they urged him, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them, and it happened that while he was with them at table, he took bread and said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. With that, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he vanished from their sight. And then they said to each other, "Were our not hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us?" And so the gospel goes on. Well, I'm working on this a few weeks ahead of time because I realize that the crunch and business of Holy Week will not allow my usual habits of sermon preparation. But a remarkable thing has happened. This gospel story, which is really one of my favorites, is beginning to color my whole observance of these weeks, which are the highlight of the liturgical year. I'm finding the focus of the resurrection life moving through the suffering and death and into the glory, a most rich expression of this season of Holy Week and Easter. It's a real blessing. What is it that most comes to mind as I consider the journey to Emmaus? For me, it's that gradual growth in attentiveness through which the beleaguered disciples pass from grief and hopelessness to a lively recognition of the risen Lord in seemingly ordinary circumstances. This speaks to me in this holy time, but it also has something to say to the needs of our culture and the religious hunger of this time. As a young priest, I realized that I was not the brightest person in my class and that what I really could do was connect people with what I considered to be the very best opinions and sources which could help them in their decision-making. My focus was increasingly to provide them with very best data that I could find so that they could make the very best choice. I saw myself as a kind of helpful problem solver. Over the years, I found myself changing, especially as there are so many choices and problems for which there are no clear or easy solutions. So instead of trying to locate the problem and the choices that can be made, well, you do some of this, but I find myself more and more focusing on the person. That phrase in the gospel, "But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him." How many opportunities have I missed by concentrating on the problem instead of the person? Attentiveness is something that our culture of instant information is sorely lacking, and I think deeply craves. We hunger for someone to really pay attention, to be present to us with interest and understanding. Why, there's a fog of inattentiveness that bedevils our modern world. I recently went to a doctor, and he gave me a mandatory 15 minutes, but he was hopelessly out of touch with my needs and with me. He didn't even touch the spot on my back that was painful. I even reached out and touched his back. It's right there. There's it. That's where it is. He then went on to prescribe a bunch of pills, in which I purchased them, and I was horrified to read about the side effects and their deadly consequences, and they did nothing for my problem. I later contacted the mother of a large family of young men in the parish, and she sent me to a chiropractor who instantly recognized the problem and fixed it after a few sessions. He also had a broader interest in me, my total health, diet, and exercise. for me, the most important part of all this is that I could say, at least I have found someone who understands my difficulty and what's really going on. Now, let's see what we can do about it. Well, one thing, this is a good model both for prayer and for the kind of attentiveness that I like to bring to the questions and needs of the people I serve, and especially during these Easter days. Of course, for a Dominican, there immediately comes to mind the contemplative focus of our prayer, and that the true energy of my efforts need to be more complete attentiveness to God. In the press of ministry and the enormity of some of the people's sufferings that we encounter, is it any surprise that my first gesture in private prayer often begins, "Oh God, please help me," etc.? When a more realistic lead into prayer and attention to God would simply begin, "Oh God, you," etc. And this should not be a habit difficult to change for us, I think. We live in a world with many needs and challenges, many of which call us away from being truly attentive to one another. One of the blessings of such active presence is the cultivation of friendships, which when all is said and done, I must confess that this is the richest possession of most of the people I've known in life. So often, I see children locked into only a small screen of awareness, that reality which can come off the screen of a smartphone or a tablet. One time, on a train to San Francisco, a lady had a baby in a carrier, which she had placed on the floor of the train, and we were going along nicely, and the baby began to fuss. So she pulled out her iPhone and punched a button and then just dropped the phone into the carrier, and the child was content. Can you imagine how skilled that child would become in negotiating the electronic world of the future? But there are also drawbacks. I observed a mother trying to call her child away from his electronic tablet, even to eat dinner, and with very little success. We all can find many reasons for not really bringing our best attention to the opportunities of the present moment. As a person who hears confessions, I'm becoming more and more interested in the quality of attention that we bring to life and our neighbor. One can miss a good deal of life with such mindless, passive self-hypnosis. This is certainly material for the forgiveness that confession brings. Which brings me back to my own challenges over this Easter time. I see these great mysteries unfold as part of my personal attention to Christ. Often I focus on the grand truths of the death and resurrection of Jesus and the salvation of the world. But the experience of the disciples just walking to Emmaus suggests a more intimate, personal awareness of the resurrection of Jesus and its consequences for all really ordinary men and women. For the moment, I can dwell on the living promise of eternal life, as that mystery may be discovered in the lives of my everyday brothers and sisters, and even strangers. Few of us can achieve really remarkable accomplishments, but simply noticing and turning our full attention to what salvation is all about in the lives of our brothers and sisters is something we can do. As a priest, I bury people all the time, and so it would be proper for me to pray, "Oh God, help me to do a good job, at least not to mess up." But what if I bring my prayer closer to the reality of the situation, something like, "Oh God, you," and then begin to complete that prayer with the phrases that reflect the life and needs, the joyful character of the person that I've known and appreciated and loved in the life of the parish. The lives of people we have known and loved build bridges to the wonder of the resurrection and what it can really mean for the real people we have experienced and have given, to whom we've given our full attention. Indeed, for people in trouble or even simply bored with life and with their circumstances, such real attention can be just the blessing that they need. Together, we are lifted up by this fuller expression of God's promise of everlasting life now, being fully realized in our prayerful attention to God and to one another. And so during these Easter days, we look for signs of Jesus' resurrected love in our most ordinary brothers and sisters. May God bless you in this time with such joyful awareness, attentiveness, and discovery of the deeper meaning of Easter during these beautiful days.